This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Reducing legal immigration. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, August 3rd. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump is supporting a bill that would require immigrants to speak English, be able to financially support their families, and have a skill that contributes to the economy.
A utility room explosion at a private school in Minneapolis has left at least two people dead. Fortunately, students were in a different area.
Stocks continue to push record highs. The Dow Industrials finished above 22,000 for the first time yesterday.
And how young adults are being influenced by their pets when it comes to buying their first home.
Millennials, when they're thinking about buying a home, one big consideration is whether they'll have enough room for a dog. So about a third of millennials in a recent survey said that they would consider sort of their dog's needs when thinking about buying a home, or they had considered them when they purchased their home.
Market Watch reporter Jillian Berman on pets having a say in home choices. She's here in about 20 minutes. Two people are confirmed dead after a gas explosion at a school in Minneapolis. Several others were injured. It happened yesterday in a utility room at the Minnehaha Academy, a private Christian school that serves grades K through 12. At the time of yesterday's blast, as many as 10 students were playing basketball and soccer inside a gym, but weren't near the explosion. One of those killed was a receptionist who's been employed at the school for 17 years. Minneapolis Fire Chief John Frutal.
Probably a third of that building collapsed in on itself. That is why we took the time and very strategic on how we were going to approach this. So we could not put rescuers on top of that rubble pile because of those types of reasons. It was very precarious.
Contractors were working on one of the campus's buildings at the time. Four people remained hospitalized as of late last evening, including one in critical condition. Aerial video footage of the school's campus showed part of a building was ripped apart with wood splintered and bricks scattered. Windows in other areas were blown out and shattered. The White House is supporting a bill from a pair of Republican senators that would cut legal immigration by 50% over 10 years. Senators Tom Cotton of Arkansas and David Perdue of Georgia say under the new bill, known as the RAISE Act, the U.S. would prioritize high-skilled immigrants by setting up a merit-based system similar to those used by Canada and Australia. President Trump's take.
The RAISE Act prevents new migrants and new immigrants from collecting welfare and protects U.S. workers from being displaced. And that's a very big thing. They're not going to come in and just immediately go and collect welfare. That doesn't happen under the RAISE Act. They can't do that.
Applicants would be favored if they can speak English, financially support their families, and demonstrate skills that will contribute to the economy. Supporters argue the current immigration system hurts American workers by driving down wages. The measure does not affect temporary visas for workers in certain tech sectors or seasonal jobs that are popular with many businesses. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has topped 22,000, setting its 32nd record. Since the start of 2017, stocks continue to push higher without a pullback of greater than 3% in more than a year. The rally has been powered in large part by a revival in U.S. corporate earnings. Art Cashin is with UBS Financial Services.
Well, I'm happy to see 22,000. My years of experience tell me stay on the alert anyway.
The milestone of the Dow pushing past 22,000 for the first time also marks a rise of precisely 20%. Since President Trump was elected in November. How long can the good times last? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen. Ben, what's the landscape right now?
Stocks have been on pretty much of a tear since November, and the Dow actually passed 22,000 for the first time, hovering near those levels. But the 22,000 mark is actually a 20% climb since Election Day precisely, and somewhat of a strange coincidence. And this is sort of the fastest 20% climb that we've seen post the election of a new president since George H.W. Bush back in 1988. So this is pretty fast by historical standards. It's not the fastest, but it's a sign of just how far this market has gone.
Yeah. What are some of the contributing factors here to that rise?
Well, it's actually changed a bit over time. So right after the election, the stocks that were contributing to the Dow's rise the most were financial names like Goldman Sachs. That actually was one of the biggest gainers over the month of November and into December. But more recently, what we've seen in the Dow's move from 21,000 to 22,000 has been led by Boeing, which reported strong results recently and has just been on a tear ever since. And that's because the Dow is price weighted, and and Boeing is one of the more expensive stocks. That's been a big contributor. And then you've had Apple, which is the biggest U.S. company by market cap, and that company reported strong earnings on Tuesday afternoon, and on Wednesday, that's been sort of pulling the Dow over the top here to the 22,000 mark.
What about the lack of policy achievements here? Does that even seem baked into these numbers?
It's interesting. I mean, right after the election, that was the supposed reason that stocks were rising, that, you know, you're going to get these sort of business-friendly, market-friendly policies, such as reforms to the tax code, infrastructure spending, and, right, so far we've seen none of that. That doesn't mean that it won't happen. Traders still have hope, but really what's been kind of leading the market here, at least over the last couple weeks, has been earnings, which have been surprisingly robust. The S&P 500 earnings have been coming in better than expectations, and this is the second quarter in a row where you've had what looks to be pretty strong earnings. So that's helped as well.
And we're speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen. He's written a piece entitled "Stocks Are Up 20% Under President Trump. Can It Last?" And that's the big question here. What are some of the experts or observers saying, Ben?
Well, it's tough to say where we go from here, especially because those experts and observers likely didn't foresee how much the stock market would go up.
Right.
So it's tough, but I mean it's definitely hard to draw conclusions based on what's happened for what's going to happen in the future. One example that we pointed to was actually the fastest 20% move after the election of a new president happened for the Dow happened after Herbert Hoover was elected in 1928. And that only took 63 days, which was just 2 months to climb 20%. And but right, 1929 was when the Great Depression took hold, and the stock market lost about 3/4 of its value over the course of his presidency. So you never know what's going to happen. But the people who are invested in the stock market right now are probably pretty happy.
Wow. How about the Federal Reserve's role in all this? Because interest rates obviously have inched up.
Yeah, that's. I mean, interest rates are up. They're up. They're still pretty low by historical standards. So that's kind of providing somewhat of an underpinning to the stock market still, it seems. And you know, it's actually interesting. The president back in September, when he was talking about the stock market and was sort of talking about it being in a bubble, he mentioned that interest rates are low, and as soon as interest rates rise, it's going to the bubble is going to collapse in the stock market. But so far, that hasn't happened, and the president has been now been singing the stock market's praises, particularly over the last couple of weeks.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Eisen. 15 minutes now after the hour. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into a Thursday. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. President Trump has signed a bill imposing tough sanctions on Russia for interfering in the 2016 election, but seemed to be figuratively holding his nose as he did, calling the law seriously flawed. Even went so far as to say that parts of the measure limiting his power to lift the penalties were unconstitutional. He doesn't like the language that says he must notify Congress if he wants to lift sanctions, saying it will drive China, Russia, and North Korea closer together. Vice President Mike Pence reacted on Fox News, hoping the measure leads to better sanctions or relations.
By signing this legislation, we're sending a very clear message that Russia's destabilizing activities, its support for rogue regimes, are no longer going to be tolerated.
In response to the initial passage by Congress last week, the Kremlin ordered the U.S. Embassy in Moscow to reduce its staff by hundreds of employees. Yesterday, Russia's prime minister described the new U.S. sanctions as a, quote, declaration of a full-fledged economic war on Russia and promised consequences. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to President Trump, has embraced legislation that would dramatically reduce legal immigration and shift the nation toward a system that prioritizes merit and skills over family ties. Trump joined with Republican Senators David Perdue of Georgia and Tom Cotton of Arkansas to promote the bill, which so far has gained little traction in the Senate.
As a candidate, I campaigned on creating a merit-based immigration system that protects U.S. workers and taxpayers, and that is why we are here today, merit-based.
The legislation would replace the current process for obtaining green cards, creating a skills-based point system for employment visas. The bill would also aim to slash the number of refugees in half. The U.S. military in Afghanistan says four troops were wounded in the same suicide bombing near the city of Kandahar the previous day that killed two U.S. service members. The statement released in Kabul today says their injuries are not life-threatening. In Wednesday's attack, a suicide bomber rammed his explosive-laden car into a NATO convoy. A second body has been found in the rubble of a collapsed school building in Minneapolis after an explosion killed a school employee and injured several others. City Fire Chief John Freudel says the body was recovered last night at the Minnehaha Academy.
Both of the victims were actually located in very much the same location. One was lower than the other, deeper into the rubble, but they're both primarily in the same location.
Contractors were working on one of the campus's buildings at the time of the blast, which investigators believe was caused by a natural gas explosion. Children splashed about as adults dipped their toes in Portland fountains seeking relief from a heat wave that's baking a region famous for cool weather. In normally temperate Oregon and Washington, warm days mean simply drawing shades and running fans. But a searing high-pressure system is making Portland and Seattle sizzle and leading residents to hunt for air conditioning. Portland hit 100 degrees yesterday and could reach 105 today. Another reboot in the entertainment world, the CW Network, this fall will roll out Dynasty, the popular soap from the 80s. The new version will be similar to the original, but will kick it up a notch.
Come on. Really?
All I can think of is big hair. I hope they still have big hair.
That's true. I do encourage that. But besides from that, well, where's the creativity? Come on, a reboot of this
People
thing?
People will watch it. I
know they will. And they'll sell ads. And that'll encourage more of it. 22 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. There are those who love their pets, and then there are those who seem to go above and beyond. A new survey from SunTrust Mortgage finds that roughly one-third of recent homebuyers ages 18 to 36 said a desire to have more room for their pets influence their decision to buy their first home. How so? Here's MarketWatch reporter Jillian Berman. Jillian, what's up here?
Millennials, when they're thinking about buying a home, one big consideration is whether they'll have enough room for a dog. So about a third of millennials in a recent survey said that they would consider sort of their dog's needs when thinking about buying a home, or they had considered them when they purchased their home.
Wow. Now, I thought you were going to say millennials are considering whether or not to get a dog because perhaps they're saddled in debt and aren't sure about various costs associated with a pet, but this has gone like a different level.
So you're right that financial concerns definitely play into millennials' lives in all sorts of ways, and a dog is, you know, can be expensive. But one thing I found from talking to some millennials and experts is that, in a way, a dog can be a step towards a, you know, an even greater financial commitment. So millennials who are struggling or who are, you know, they're making their way out of debt and all of that, they may be able to afford a dog but aren't ready for some of the bigger commitments like marriage or children.
Wow. All right, so does talk about having enough room for children enter this discussion or not for the first time buyer?
Yeah, so what this survey found is that children are a consideration when buying a home, but they are less of a consideration than dogs for young people. So, you know, that's likely because when these young people are going to look for homes, they don't have children yet. But, you know, it does show how big of a role dogs play in this choice.
Wow. So what is it that they're looking for?
Usually a space, you know, for a yard. And a lot of times, you know, as somebody who has been on the rental market for a while, a lot of times rentals have, you know, they have pet fees or, you know, they just simply don't take pets. So, you know, in addition to trying to find enough space for their dog and, you know, give him room to run around and all of that, just knowing that you can have the dog in there and you don't have to pay a deposit or a fee can be comforting.
Do they prefer, when they settle on the home, do they prefer one with, a bay window where the dog can climb up and look out or something?
Yeah, so that was one woman I spoke to. She said that, you know, they looked for a home that had a nice window because her dog's a terrier and likes to watch what's going on outside. And they did end up getting a home with that and also with a yard for the dog to run around.
Wow. What else jumped out at you here when you were pulling this together?
The amount of, you know, sort of, I guess this is something I've always known, but the amount of attachment that young people have to their pets and sort of how they, you know, fit in with their identity. We see with social media and stuff like that now a lot of Instagram accounts and things like that are specifically dedicated to pets. So I guess it, you know, it doesn't necessarily surprise me that then that would translate into, you know, major life choices. But, you know, just hearing about how the accommodations that people make for their pets was, you know, was interesting.
Thanks, Jillian. Market Watch reporter Jillian Berman in New York. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Hey, glad you're with us. Thursday, August 3. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Proposed legislation would require that new immigrants can financially support themselves. Deadly gas explosion at a Minneapolis academy. School is not in session, though. Dow passes 22,000 for the first time. USA Today releases its preseason college football poll later today. Thank you, Women's Health Magazine. 45-year-old Sofia Vergara posing nude in the Naked issue this month. And NASA is looking for someone to protect us from space aliens. The job description and pay in about 20 minutes. In the personnel shuffling at the White House, President Trump, by getting rid of Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, may have cut one of his few remaining ties to the Republican Party. It's a story from Tim Alberta, national political reporter for Politico magazine. Tim, how do you see it?
Well, essentially, Donald Trump has himself very few long-standing serious connections to the Republican Party. If you look around the West Wing as he took office, only Reince Priebus, with the possible exception of Vice President Mike Pence, although he'd been in Indiana the last several years, obviously, as governor, only Reince Priebus, his chief of staff, had a serious association with the establishment of the Republican Party. And by that, we're talking specifically about the donor community, the activists who are doing much of the grassroots work around the country. So effectively, by firing Reince Priebus, Donald Trump has severed his one key connection to the GOP elite. And that is problematic insofar as almost seeming to embraced this idea perhaps of triangulating against his own party and trying to turn the base against some of the Republican politicians whom they have sent to Washington. So this is causing a lot of heartburn on Capitol Hill. Frankly, it's also causing some heartburn inside the administration, because you do have Republican officials across the administration, albeit not in the inner circle, who are now looking around and, with Reince Priebus gone, are very anxious about whether or not the president has any sort of pipeline to the Republican Party on the Hill and around the country.
Does that mean, Tim, that the door is open more than ever for calling this the new Republican Party, or is it too soon yet?
Well, look, I think it remains to be seen. I on the one hand, sure, you could certainly look at this and say Donald Trump is effectively setting up what could look like a binary choice for voters around the country to make. Are they with him, or are they with their congressional representatives and senators and governors who they have also elected? That seems to be what Donald Trump has hinted at several times. Specifically, if you recall the first health care defeat in the House, he was calling out some of the Freedom Caucus members by name and effectively suggesting that voters in their districts, their own constituents, would have to choose, that they couldn't support both Trump and these Freedom Caucus members. Now, he dialed that back a little bit, but we have sort of thematically heard a lot of that over the last couple of months from this White House. And you do have to wonder if, in fact, Donald Trump sees himself as rebranding the Republican Party as a whole, or, I think, sort of conversely, does he see himself abandoning the Republican Party in a way and sort of breaking off and considering himself a party unto himself and sort of pitching that to voters? It's going to be, and that latter option, Gordon, I should emphasize, is really what has a lot of Republicans anxious, because they're not sure they want to be associated and affiliated with Donald Trump, but that in a lot of ways seems like a safer option than having the president sort of go rogue and turn against them altogether.
Mm. We're speaking with Tim Alberta, national political reporter for Politico magazine. He's written a piece entitled "Without Priebus, Trump is a Man Without a Party." Explain, too, the piece where you say Priebus's absence will echo loudest on Capitol Hill, particularly for House Speaker Paul Ryan. I didn't realize the deep connections other than Wisconsin that those two had.
Yeah, well, these guys go back a long ways. And as I say in the piece, Speaker Ryan's former chief of staff, who's one of his closest personal friends, happened to actually also be the college roommate of Reince Priebus at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater decades ago. So Priebus and Ryan have known each other for a very long time, have been good friends for a very long time, and they have effectively viewed each other as partners in the foxhole here over the first 6 months of this administration. Whenever things were going sideways, Priebus would make his first call to Ryan, and Ryan would make his first call to Priebus. These guys are of sort of very similar disposition, very similar worldviews politically and ideologically and otherwise, and they viewed one another as sort of mutually as each other's greatest resource.
Thanks, Tim. Tim Alberta, national political reporter for Politico magazine. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us on this Friday eve. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories he'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, let this be a lesson to would-be thieves. Make sure you have enough trunk space for whatever you plan to steal. Police in Tennessee released video of a burglary suspect recently trying and failing to steal a $1,000 dollhouse when it fails to fit inside her mid-sized sedan. The video posted to YouTube by the Kingsport Police Department shows the woman attempting to fit the $1,000 dollhouse into her car after allegedly burglarizing an unlocked storage unit. The woman appears to quickly realize the dollhouse won't fit in the trunk of her car, so she attempts to fit it into the back seat, an attempt that also meets with failure. The woman eventually drives away without the pilfered doll residence, perhaps to look into buying a bigger vehicle to use for her next caper.
Interesting.
Yes. Perhaps a little more forethought.
Yeah, you need to be aware of video cameras everywhere when you do things these days.
And that's the other thing. Mm-hmm. You know, those storage units, they got video cameras all over the place.
They're everywhere.
Just for that reason, because we're not all great at locking those things up.
Wow. I haven't seen it. Is it worth watching? Did you actually look at it?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I mean, it's if you like seeing people, again, fail If you like watching hashtag fail.
Failing.
Yeah. Then wow. Yes, most definitely.
$1,000 dollhouse.
Yeah.
I would have put a little more thought into this. I probably would have shown up with a measuring tape in the weeks ahead of time to size this thing up.
I'm guessing perhaps she was kind of walking around to the different units maybe to see if one was open, or she just was walking around, saw it, maybe it was a jar or something. Okay. I'm guessing she didn't have it all planned out.
I see.
Doesn't sound like she had it all planned out for sure. Or she would have borrowed a truck or something.
Forgive me. I gave a potential criminal way too much credit.
Exactly.
Apologies.
You should know better by now. And happy birthday to Gordon's favorite quarterback, Tom Brady, turns 40 today. And while Brady is currently at training camp preparing to defend yet another Super Bowl win this fall, a new wax museum is asking for his help to improve a wax replica of him that has been ridiculed online. The Dreamland Wax Museum in Boston features a statue of Brady that has drawn criticism from many from people who say it looks creepy and doesn't resemble him. Facebook post from the museum on Wednesday acknowledged that the figure isn't perfect because it's based on a photo instead of Brady's actual measurements. So the museum has invited Brady to come by and sit in for a measurement session, saying that getting it perfect is its top priority. Museum officials say they haven't received a response yet. The museum also drew attention in July with a figure of President Donald Trump that some said missed the mark.
You had one job.
Right.
And this is what you do.
Right. So,
we need to button this up because
it says it's a new museum. So, this new museum apparently has a lot of trouble doing wax figures. That's kind of their thing.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
As I've, I've advanced into my 20s, later into my 20s, I've come to appreciate Tom Brady, although, as you know, a Jets fan, I can't, as hard as I try, I can't dislike the guy the way I used to.
Yeah.
He is such a competitor that I've just come to appreciate that.
Yeah.
The older and somewhat more mature, I guess.
Yeah. I think his continued excellence, now was his fifth decade on this planet.
Yeah.
As I think all of us who were skeptical at one point saying, you know what, you got to give him credit for keeping it going. But for some reason, people have a lot of trouble getting his image right. Remember, there was that courtroom sketch debacle?
Oh, yes.
The Deflategate
thing,
that terrible courtroom sketch, and now the wax figure. You know, I mean, my wife would disagree with this. Most people think he's a pretty good looking guy.
Yeah.
My wife doesn't think he's going at all. She's probably the only one. Everyone thinks he's a pretty good-looking guy. For some reason, they can't get a good-looking sketch or wax figure of him.
That's interesting.
I don't know what's going on there.
Pretty good. Speaking of quarterbacks, by the way, the Ben Roethlisberger video from yesterday?
Yes.
Need to see that, where he is supposed to be dodging these blocking pads that are thrown at him during a drill.
Okay.
He's supposed to be working on his lateral movement with his feet, and he gets hit by the very first one. And instead of throwing the ball, the next ones that come at him, he just starts pounding them like with the ball in his hand and just breaks up everybody in practice. It's a funny moment.
Smash.
Speaking of aging quarterbacks, thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Trump grudgingly signed what he called a seriously flawed package of sanctions against Russia, bowing for the moment to resistance from both parties to his push for warmer ties with Moscow. Although Trump signed the most significant piece of legislation of his presidency yesterday with no public event, Vice President Mike Pence claims Trump supports the sanctions.
With regard to Russia, this codifies sanctions that the administration has supported and advanced since the days of our inauguration.
Trump issued a written statement that accused Congress of overstepping its constitutional bounds, impeding his ability to negotiate with foreign countries, and lacking any ability to strike deals. Yet another tiff between the administration and reporters after the White House tweaked President Trump's comments about what he says was praise of his speech last month at the Boy Scout National Jamboree. Trump says he got a call from the head of the Boy Scouts saying it was the greatest speech ever made to the youth group. But the organization denies that, and White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders says there was no call from the top, but multiple members of the Boy Scout leadership complimented Trump after the speech.
The conversations took place. They just simply didn't take place over a phone call that he had them in person.
The White House also had to back off another Trump claim made Monday. Trump claimed Mexico's president called to praise his immigration policies. Sanders says there was no call, but they spoke during a recent summit in Germany. A founding member of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five has been arrested in the fatal stabbing of a homeless man. Nathaniel Glover was arrested last night on murder charges. He performed as Kid Creole with the 80s rap group popular for hits like The Message. Police say the stabbing happened in Manhattan on Monday, and the victim was found with multiple stab wounds to his torso. It's unclear what led to the stabbing. Well, you've certainly heard of wedding planners now gaining popularity. Elopement planners. But the new style of elopement isn't necessarily about running away in secret to get married. It's about saving money. Companies such as the Elopement Company in Charlotte help couples plan small, simple weddings with low costs. The company does, however, help plan actual traditional elopements.
Very nice. Hey, listen, it's so expensive these days. I mean, wouldn't you choose one of these things? It's insane. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Ever dream of protecting the Earth from an alien invasion? Well, NASA has a job for you. The Federal Space Agency is seeking to hire a planetary protection officer. The position pays up to $187,000 a year. The Huffington Post says before you start sharpening your space invader skills, be warned that NASA is not going to take just anyone. The job description says applicants should have broad engineering expertise and an advanced knowledge of planetary protection. Not entirely qualified, but still intrigued, NASA is offering a planetary protection course to 14 students in November on a first-come, first-served basis. It's only one of two roles like it in the world, one with NASA and the other with the European Space Agency. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.